Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Excuse me. Did Rita call?
I'm busy.
You're busy? This is my life I'm talking about here. Now, did Rita call or not?
No. And for your own good, you better quit thinking about Rita.
Not afraid of Mickey D?
Then you're a fool. Anybody with any sense is afraid of Mickey D.
If Rita calls, you let me know.
Kid's just asking for trouble. Rita's too much for him to handle, and Mickey D's gonna plant his face in the pavement. Now, here are your room keys.
Hello.
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 Hello, and welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Access.
Okay. Normally, we say the name of the podcast. We say the number of the number of the podcast.
We're gonna get down to business.
It's episode number 243, if I recall correctly. Does that jibe with what other folks think?
Sure,
Dan. Are you?
I kind of lost count. Actually,
you're gonna play a clever sound effect that reinforces the 243 episodes of It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes, sirree.
All right, there we go.
Shoot.
Which episode of TNG?
Time to get down to business.
Good call. Good call, Jesse. That is the other thing that we do usually do is
season two something.
We explain which episode we're going to be talking about, even though it's in the title of the episode.
You're being really weirdly calm and like deliberate.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying.
We don't always have to be high
energy.
Trying
to cause trouble.
We just came off of intense coverage of Star Trek Discovery's fifth and final season.
Oh, right. We're still riding high.
That's
off
right.
That.
So we're,
well,
we're,
we coming, kinda, down?
We're coming down. You know, relax down. A little bit.
Oh.
Be a little bit more deliberative.
Yeah.
You know, more calm and relaxed.
Very strange experience.
Yes, it is a little bit. Yes, we say the title of the episode. We're fond of doing that. Podcast audiences themselves, I think they like to get confirmation that what they're listening to is what they think they're listening to.
I mean, they probably know from looking at the title. We've gone over this
before.
Is
it really that big, though?
Well, you've also played sound effects from this episode, which is another clue.
Yeah, but I mean,
the people are familiar with the episode, which they probably are, because otherwise, why would they listen to this episode of the podcast?
Like, I think we had this discussion last week, and I'll say what I said then is that, or the week before, which is they looked at the file they downloaded, and it told them what they were listening to. It's not like it's not like they stumbled upon a lost file without a name and played it. It's like,
this? I mentioned the podcast
archive. It's only like a few minutes in, probably, so they remember the identification.
The long and the short of it is that this week we will be discussing Star Trek TNG's The Royale.
Pretty smooth.
All right. Yes, The Royale.
The Royale, of course.
The Royale.
The Royale. The Royale.
Okay.
The Royale.
Okay, is it? Are you going to play?
I awaken to find myself here in the Royale Hotel.
All right.
The Royale's exits are clearly marked.
I found in my room. Oh,
well, there was more to it than that.
The Royale's exits are clearly marked.
Why, this is the Royale, of course.
I believe you are trapped inside the Royale, just as I am.
There we go. Wasn't that fun? Do you want me to replay the one that I played over?
I awakened to find myself here in the Royale Hotel.
No.
Precisely as described in the novel I found in my room.
I'll admit I'm slightly disappointed that you didn't button that with Royale with cheese.
Oh, yo, man.
From Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
I was waiting for it.
Because we frequently reference Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And this episode...
I think we frequently say Royale with cheese.
This episode is about Pulp Fiction.
Right.
But that's okay.
I know. I really dropped the ball.
No harm, no foul.
I don't know. There's a little bit of foul.
Well, okay. It's season two, TNG, season two. episode 12. And that's, everyone agrees on that. Because in TNG, cool. sometimes it's one of those deals where you go to Memory Alpha, you go to IMDb, you go to the old Wikipedia. Sometimes they say different things.
Sometimes Paramount has it wrong.
Sometimes Paramount has missing episodes. What was it? Contagion?
Yeah. It was Contagion. It was the episode before this one. It went from 10 to 12. There was no Contagion. Lame, I checked on two different OSs, and they were both the same.
Have you checked more recently than when we had discussed that earlier in the week?
No, I haven't checked back. But things come and go in that. Sometimes the watch from beginning button disappears when I'm like looking at an episode, and I want to like go back to the beginning because it's at the end. It's like during the credits. I press play, and it's like playing the credits to the end. And I was like, I don't want to watch this. And so I go back to go to the beginning, and it's not there. So I have to like manually rewind, which is slow as fuck for some reason.
Is it ever out of sync? Things.
Sometimes when I've casted from my Android phone to my TV.
Is it casted or just cast? I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
My ears have a preference for cast.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. You might
like
be wrong.
Like to cast a line. A fishing line. Anyway, I fear we've gone slightly off topic here, so we're discussing...
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They don't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it the Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
Thank you. That's helpful. I appreciate that.
It's halfway there.
No, I think it's really great that you were able to do that. So it's got Star
Ready
Trek.
When you are.
Number 243. Welcome. Check out our Patreon.
Yes, sirree.
If you think this is worth money, oh boy, you should see what we got on our Patreon.
You can spend away.
I'm sure you'll love it.
I find it stimulating.
Patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. There's going to be a couple of new things coming up this weekend, so keep an eye out for those.
Yes.
No news-em-ups this week, and no...
Nasty.
No email-em-ups, but we do have one voicemail from...
It's not a promising beginning.
But we know we have a voicemail.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we have just no emails... And no, what was the other thing I said? News-em-ups.
News-em-ups.
Because who cares what's going on out there?
All right.
But we do have a voicemail from a longtime listener, Isaac.
Extraordinary.
Yes, it is. I mean, they often are. We're gonna listen to the email and or the voicemail and find out.
Listen
so,
to the email.
Yes, indeed. So with that, I will play the voicemail from Isaac.
Hello, guys. Isaac from Tasmania here, and long-term listener, love your format. But one thing you might not know is the duty game that you guys play. Mm-hmm. We don't call it duty here, so it took me a while and a little bit of context to realize what you're actually trying to do with the game, but now I love it.
I wonder.
From being a long-term listener, I know that you guys like Tarantino, Arrested Development, Seinfeld, Wesley Willis. So I'm guessing you guys have heard of a little-known band called Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Now, they've got a song called Drain You, which is sandwiched between Territorial Pissings and Lounge Act on Nevermind. Mm-hmm. And the third line is... It is now my duty to completely drain you. And I challenge you this week to listen to the song and tell me what was Kurt Cobain actually singing in 1991. Because I'm sure he was recording that song with this game in mind. Keep up the good work, and I might just hang around.
Thank you so much, Isaac. We appreciate that. That's actually, we didn't think of the cultural contextual differences.
I kind of wondered.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either.
Yeah, but I didn't, you know.
So now what we don't know is they don't call duty in Australia. So what do they call it?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
Isaac, do you know?
We can probably look it up.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, great. Wait, excellent. That's convenient.
Wait, what's going on here? What's going on here? What?
Isaac, what do they call duty or feces or whatever you want to call it? I don't know.
Nasty.
It's come it, like God, there are many names for it.
Nasty.
I've never said this before, but shit's very popular here.
Ah, well, you know.
Just plain old shit.
Good old shit. I mean, that's classic. It's all this extra stuff. It's you know what it is? It's probably from the U.S. Puritan values.
There's probably a whole slew of people that had no idea what I was talking about when I was duty or no duty.
Yeah.
You know. I was also wondering if it was what Dookie, the 1994 album by Green Day, is Dookie the same as Duty?
Yes,
is the same as Duty?
Yeah. Dookie is another It's another
and there's
another
a famous quote
slang term for feces.
And there's a famous quote from a movie starring Hulk Hogan called No Holds Barred, where he picks some guy up and the guy's all freaking out and he's like, and he goes, "What's that smell?" And the guy's like all freaked out. He goes, "Dookie," because the implication is Hulk picked him up and the dude shit his pants. Yes. No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan.
It's not an implication, Dan. They make it fairly clear and, in that movie, No Holds Barred.
And Tiny Lister Jones, I think, is the name of Zeus the Moose.
Yes, he was in there.
Is that movie better than the episode The Royale? Because we can talk about that instead. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lister Jr. To answer your question, there was a few charming moments in this episode.
A few, yeah.
But mostly it was kind of like, nothing really meant anything.
Yeah.
There was no reason for anything.
I think we have a variety of opinions here, like a real diversity of opinions amongst the four of us. Mm-hmm. It's, what was it, 1989, March, I think, March 27th, 1989. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to situate it in time. It's like extra 1989 vibes in this show.
Yeah, it gave me the feeling of like watching an old late 80s sitcom. And I mean, that's obvious because it takes place in the late 80s, but it had that specific vibe.
It had actors from TV.
It had that specific vibe, and the camera had the specific look. Everything just felt like what you ascribe to an 80s sitcom here in the U.S. at least.
I think it had sort of Doctor Who-ish vibes or Red Dwarf in terms of the production design a little bit, like with that spinning door. Right. And we'll get into all this, but like, you know, that
spinning door is pretty tight.
I think of this. This is
it's a
very
good scene.
This is a liminal space. And, you know, this place they go to. And that interests me. On the other hand, there's a lot of stuff in this episode. It's just so ridiculous. Offensive in some cases.
So, this was an episode that began where they're in this planet when there's like this scary emptiness surrounding them, and episodes like that seem to have all this promise.
Yeah.
Another episode I'm reminded of is TOS's episode Spectre of the Gun. It kind of began in a similar way where they're out in the middle of a bunch of fog and you think it's going to be this crazy thing.
Yeah.
But it's really just a throwback to some older time that we've sort of existed.
Well, was that the one also where the sets were all like only the fronts, right? And that's another one, yeah, the liminal dreamlike space to it, but
pretty smooth.
Anyway, I guess we should start at the start. We have this very green planet.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about it looking like something like Doctor Who or Red Dwarf. I was thinking specifically when they were over, like in scenes where they were looking at the inside of the casino part. I don't know.
That was 80s sitcom. Yeah. I'm talking about like outside in the black void, looking at that spinning door. That to me, it felt sort of English production style. Totally. You know?
Sounds good to me.
And with good effect, potentially, depending on, you know, your opinion on things. Because I know a lot of people, Isaac, I think you're one of them. I know a lot of people can't stand this episode. This is one of your worst ones, right?
On my list of most hated TNG episodes.
What are the first two for context?
So we've got, the racist one from series one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've got the clip show at the end of season two.
Shades of Grey.
Shades of Grey, right.
Those are both really bad.
Totally.
Even Luoxana and Alexander having a spa, a day spa, is better than this.
Yeah, that was weird too.
Oh yeah, I like Luoxana, but a lot of Luoxana stuff is weird.
Yeah, while I was watching it, I was trying to work out why I don't actually gel with this episode, and I think a lot of it actually isn't the casino bit. It's you spend about 10 to 15 minutes on the ship being told why we can't communicate with the planet.
Yeah,
and that's. It's really, how would I put it? It just interrupts the story all the time.
It is a lot of just sort of like beeping and booping and like, we're going to try this. Oh, that didn't work. All right, we'll try something else.
And then there's going to be a comedic scene of like Picard and Troy like listening to, that was interesting because they were listening to the audio tape of what was going of the story, but it had the same voices as the people on the planet.
Yeah.
They weren't listening into the planet.
They got the same actors to do the audiobook.
To do the audiobook that they did to get the planet going. So them using the line, "It was a dark and stormy night," is kind of like the book title version of a Wilhelm scream or something in a show, like to show you that it's cheesy, you know. Except they sometimes use Wilhelm screams like seriously, but
Dark and Stormy. I disagreed with Picard. I thought it was a promising start.
It's not a promising beginning.
Oh, I'm glad you grabbed that. In my notes, I say that when Picard says "not a promising beginning," I say that's a good clip to have handy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe this dialogue. Did humans really talk like that?
What's funny is the way she's talking is weird.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
which is good. She's alien. I mean, you know,
she should be like an alien. But I like how Picard had some good exasperated moments in this. Like then when he was listening to this thing, and he's like. So this is the title.
He's like, I'm reading better books than this.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Then he goes.
It's not a promising beginning.
And then here's one where he was exasperated with Wesley.
Captain, these frequencies are unstable.
And find others.
Yes, sir.
Fucking find us. This is one of those ones where he just wasn't taking any shit. Like, he's just like, I want to be done with this.
He was like, why? They're all having fun down on the planet with all the goofy weirdness.
Now it's been a while since I've seen
it.
Oh god,
sorry.
It's been a while. It's that song.
It's that song.
It's been some time since I've seen this episode, but how? For those of you who remember, do you think this is better or worse than A Fistful of Data's?
I don't. Oh, that's a good measure because it has been a little while since I've seen A Fistful of Data's.
It's got some better parts to it.
Maybe. I would probably prefer. I probably enjoy watching this more than A Fistful of Data's, but it could be that A Fistful of Data's maybe is technically maybe it's a better episode, but a more boring episode. I don't know. I mean, you can't even call it boring. It's just weird.
It's kind of silly.
It's weird.
Weird.
It is weird.
Weird.
You know how good Picard season 3 was?
Yeah.
We wouldn't have got that without Fistful of Data's and the Royale.
Just the building blocks?
That's right. They were essential parts of the story. And without that, they wouldn't have greenlit the series.
You're damn right. Yeah, I think, I don't know, that's a good question. We'll have to watch A Fistful of Data's sometime soon.
You're damn right.
If we could mention
it. We haven't done it yet.
No, we haven't done A Fistful of Data's yet.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's ever come up on the, like, well, I mean, it comes up in the list, but not near the top.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And again, for newer folks, Dan has a special bespoke algorithm, podcast topic selection algorithm that he uses to ingest the previous week's podcast produce a list of podcasts to talk about next week.
One of the few good parts of this episode, which I'm kind of conflicted about, is the Texas Oil Man character. Because he's simultaneously...
Wait, you mean the rapey guy?
Yeah, he's simultaneously...
the sexual assaulter?
He's simultaneously like charming, and then he turns around and is like really fucking awful, you know?
He is pretty awful.
But he's impressed by Data. He likes Data.
Yeah.
She goes,
what the hell difference does it make?
That was the wrong sound. She said, he goes, shit.
What are you doing to us?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm off my game. It's that whole Royale with cheese thing. When Vanessa goes,
what am I going to do?
And then he's like,
there.
And he was like hoping she would lose all her money so he could like get with her. Like he was trying to make. And plus, apparently, it was they didn't mention it in the story, but there was a subplot with them like trying to murder her husband or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, which was weird. They brought up these like plots and subplots, but nothing really had to do with anything really. Like we were just. And why did it play?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was supposed to be like a lame novel. It was supposed to be a lame story.
I know, like, but it didn't like it didn't play into the plot of the show really, except for at the very end when they found out that there was going to some the way they got out was buying the hotel. It was quite a leap to say like that well Mickey D can leave, that means we can leave, and oh the way we leave is to buy the hotel because that's how the novel ends. He thinks if you put it in a nice little bow, it means like they get to leave. Like there's nothing that really indicated
they're using. They're using like the same level of logic as the book to get out of the book.
Yeah, it's like meta. It's like if they play out the climax, they beat the book and get to leave it. Which it was
Play out the climax. That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
What a wild phrase you've just invented.
Play out the climax.
Play that shit out.
One of my issues with the episode as well is the colonel that died. He didn't try that, so he just lived there. He didn't try to break the casino and buy it off them. You know, he had 38 years.
Rest in peace, colonel.
Yeah, he did not. You're right. That's a good point. He did not. He spent 38 years and couldn't come up with an idea. Couldn't figure out the gag, which was pretty obvious.
Well,
I mean, maybe, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Yeah.
But and then also, so how did this story work? Did it just go on in a loop? Or is that what
they
what
don't was, make that clear?
Because
it
like,
sounds like that it would be a loop, because that's why he described it. The colonel described it as a living hell.
Yeah,
and it does sound like they did, if I had to deal with these people, I wanted to blow my brains out just from dealing with them once.
Yeah,
as an audience member, as a to be trapped there with them and being forced to interact with them. I think that might be more problematic.
I think it had to have been on a loop because like the Enterprise crew was like experiencing it. So if they experience it and then they experienced it, it must be doing something. There was some weird. Like side joke, side gag thing with Vanessa. She kept saying, "Yeah,
yeah, yeah."
She goes, she goes,
yeah.
And then she goes,
"Yeah."
And then she goes,
"Yeah."
And then she goes,
"Yeah."
They did. The sound didn't come out so great, but that's basically it.
This was one of those episodes that had a lot of rewrites. Like it started out one way. Like the original writer had a conception based on like an astronaut stuck in a nightmare or something.
Well, he's like, I got a good idea for
which
an episode.
Which is a pretty like hard sci-fi.
You get yourself an astronaut, you stick him in a fucking nightmare. The kids will eat that shit up.
I mean, that sounds like a good idea, but
it's sort of. I mean, you know, we've talked about episodes that have had a lot of rewrites, and the story gets all kind of wonky and shit, and like,
yeah,
you know,
because this
can kind of tell with this one that there's, you know.
If that was the original plot, like, that was just sort of a throwaway in that one scene.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there was a whole weird exchange they had about room service.
Oh, yes.
Because
room service.
They didn't make... there was a misunderstanding there.
Yeah. Worf said...
They're going to come and clean the room.
Worf goes...
Act it out, Dan. Act it out. I want you to do the voices.
Okay. You want me to do all the voices?
I want you to do all the voices.
Okay, here's my expert voices. So first, Worf says...
Yes.
There's a female voice asking if we want room service. And Data says, I believe she is asking if we want the room cleaned. Oh, he's wrong. And Riker said...
What a chump.
Riker said...
He doesn't eat food.
Riker said, tell her no. And then Worf says...
No.
So why was that scene there?
Because it was awesome.
Oh, wait, then Riker said, what did she say? And Worf said, she said the kitchen will be open 24 hours if we change our minds.
That's good room service.
That's supposed to make us believe that's where they're going to come back to that somehow.
No gawk.
They didn't come back to that at all. They just did it. They didn't come back to it.
I've never had a hotel ring me up and ask me if I want room service.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works.
They always seem to think it's a hassle. And they're like, it'll be there in an hour and a half.
Well, they're not the Royale.
Like tip them and shit.
Yeah, the Royale. The Royale.
Royale must be pretty good if it's worth $12.5 million in 1989.
Well,
actually, I guess technically it was in the future, so it should have been worth even more. Now, okay, yeah,
okay. They said
it.
This took place in
they didn't even have money.
They said this took place in the 20th century,
between 2037 something and 2070 something, because it had 52 stars on the U.S. flag.
No.
Oh, that's when the book was written.
Oh, that was when the book was written. Yes.
The time.
The actual setting is
the
different.
Setting of
You're
the
right.
Yeah, the setting of the story was anywhere in the 20th century, because on the one hand,
seemed like 1989.
He was talking. Well, no, because Texas Oil Man was saying like my 91 Cadillac.
Yes.
He was talking about his 91 Cadillac,
which was in the future of the episode. Yeah.
And then also we see Mickey D is wearing some kind of like 50s gangster stuff. Yeah.
Except with parachute pants.
Yeah,
he was wearing parachute pants, and at one point, Denim Lady walks by.
Denim Lady, I was going to mention that too.
Denim Lady,
when they go in the turbo.
The daughter of Denim Elliot.
That was when they
get
were going.
You know, Denim Elliot, the actor Denim Elliot.
Yeah.
Denim Lady in this episode. I'm joking that she's the daughter of Denim.
I know, and I'm moving on. The you're talking about the scene where they go in the elevator, player. Right?
Yeah, and then the denim girl walks
yes,
by, and she's
yes.
just fucking head to toe.
Yeah,
denim.
I
the
know.
Fabric.
I know.
Not the actor.
God, this is so boring.
is that a Canadian tuxedo? Is that what
it's
called?
A Canadian where you wear denim floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, but then check
Double
it
denim.
Out. They had
Canadian tuxedo.
They had this music. You know, they had music like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, the snapping music.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be in the 80s. This is
sneaking around.
This is a throwback to like the 50s.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, it was some kind of gangstery.
So it was sometime in the 20th century.
Gangster-y.
Well, you got to consider this, Dan. You got to consider that this episode started out with a conversation where they reference ammonia tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ammonia tornadoes.
Unless you like ammonia tornadoes.
He keeps going like ick or something.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Jordy is disgusted by this
planet. It's the grossest planet we've ever been to.
Just disgusted by a planet. He's like viscerally.
It's not even the booger.
Grossed out.
He starts it with
nasty.
And then he ends it with
nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty. Nasty. Yeah, that's funny. All right, so
unless you like ammonia tornadoes,
yeah, ammonia tornadoes.
That's smelly.
It was like negative 200 degrees Celsius. Tornado. Or something.
Smells like cat pee. Yeah, cat pee has a lot of ammonia
whipping
in it.
Around.
And you gotta be careful if you got cats that pee on your floor, and then if you use bleach to like clean up the floor,
yeah.
The bleach mustard can mix gas. With the ammonia, and you can mustard gas yourself.
Yeah, or your
mustard
cats.
Gas yourself.
Don't ask me how I know about that.
Since when did Picard like? When was Picard? Was he always a math? Mathematician? Is that always his deal?
He's into all sorts of stuff.
I know he's on all sorts of stuff, but I feel like we've never heard about him. Well, this was season two, so it's early on, but like, yeah. They don't talk about his mathematician skills.
Likes, he likes historic mysteries.
Yeah, but really. For history, he's just trying to solve some like several hundred year old theorem that like, you know, it's that admirable,
that was solved 6 years after
solved,
this episode.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is hilarious. So yeah. For Mass Last, they really thought it was going to be impossible.
Like, but
no one solved it in 1,000 years. I'll just solve it in my break.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
he's like I'm bored of Shakespeare today.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like it seems like it was very casual. I didn't have a problem with it. It was just kind of funny.
What I thought was is because yes, it is. Is it the historical fact that. They reference Fermat's last theorem to make a point. They're making a thematic point here, right? And then 6 years later, it was totally solved by it was solved by Andrew Wiles, who I believe is a British mathematician. He actually first sort of solved it in 1993, but there were a few errors, and then he corrected it. And by 1995, everyone agreed that he had figured it out. But to me, part of what's funny about that is that they think that in the Star Trek future, this would not have been solved, but they thought that they would solve racism. And scarcity and all these other things, but they didn't think they would find a proof for like a mathematical theorem.
And you sound just like my ex-wife.
Yes, exactly.
he said that when Data said, take this creature, for example, he does not exhibit any DNA structure. And that's when he said that.
And you sound just like my ex-wife.
His ex-wife's always telling him he has no DNA structure.
Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah,
it's a fucked up thing to say.
Dan, you mentioned before how sleazy the Texan was to lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the main issue is these days we don't try to make people homeless to go out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually just ask them out.
Yeah.
You know?
Or use some sort of app.
Yeah.
Which is why, once again,
it's the 80s, man.
I was very conflicted because there were times where he was like kind of charming.
Well, that's how they get you, Dan.
That's how they get you.
That's how those guys get you.
Monster.
There.
It's so skin crawlingly awful. And then the interesting thing is that they have Data is like totally grossed out by this guy, and he's like, man, that guy is like a piece of shit. And then but it's not like Data's doing anything about it. He just walks away. So he's just like, man, that guy sucks.
What sort of business do you suppose he is getting down to?
What sort of business? Sounds like Hank Hill.
It does sound like
Running Hank boy, make him nice, because ain't no bread now.
What does he say? It sounds like, make him nice, because make a bread now.
I don't know.
It sounds sleazy.
I don't know what
he's saying. I'm going to play this one more time.
Running boy, make him nice, because ain't no bread now.
Run them, boy. Make them nice, because can't no bread here.
Okay, play it.
Ain't no bread here.
Ain't no bread
here. Is it ain't no bread here? Play it one more time.
Run them, boy. Make them nice, because ain't no bread now.
Ain't no bread now.
I don't know. It could be some sort of a colloquial slogan, temporarily colloquial.
Maybe he said duty.
He could have said duty. This could have been a duty or no duty moment.
Yeah,
it would have been the only one in the episode. It was a secret duty moment.
I liked when secret
duty moment.
I like when O'Brien was talking about like an extremely narrow access point.
Yeah. That was
give me a moment, gents. We're dealing with an extremely narrow access point.
He calls them gents.
Yeah.
When does he do that?
So O'Brien wasn't needed at all.
No.
He got a paycheck for this episode. Anyone could have done it. Wesley could have done it.
Same with Pulaski.
They didn't need Pulaski.
Oh my! No, they definitely did not need Pulaski.
Did you notice when after O'Brien said that and they got on the transporter pad, you could see the pad buckling under their weight.
Watch
it, the plastic. You could see the plastic like buckling under
that.
There.
Too many.
So yeah,
that's funny.
There wasn't made one. Made
when you say they don't need Pulaski, did you mean for this episode or this season?
Oh man!
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well,
I mean, she was good for hating and being like specious towards Data.
I think this is a good spot now that we have Isaac on. We actually haven't done a lot of season two episodes on this podcast because again it's just
once or twice.
So we haven't had a lot of Pulaski. We did there was the Elementary Dear Data where actually I like Pulaski in that one.
Yeah, she's okay.
The character fits well there, but. Isaac, what are your thoughts on Pulaski? I think we've discussed ours a little bit, but we haven't discussed Pulaski too much. And I know she can be a controversial character amongst the Star Trek Navi.
It's difficult for her that she's competing with Beverly Crusher, who was her own character and really solid in that role. But she's kind of just like a female Bones, really. Yes. She's quite argumentative, quite grumpy. And we've done that. So, apparently, Patrick Stewart rang up Gates McFadden near the end of season two and said, basically, can you come back? And she was like, no. And she didn't want to, but she got convinced anyway, because apparently she stood up for herself. And
that's why she got let go, right?
From season one of it.
For me, like Pulaski, like I said, there's episodes like Elementary Dear Data that I quite enjoy her character because it's balanced out properly. Because as you noted, she is like let's do a female version of Bones. But the problem is that like Dr. McCoy was slotted into a very specific structure with Spock and Kirk. And there was supposed to be a certain balance. And like, there's a reason why Dr. McCoy was the way he was. Right. It wasn't that he was that way and that was charming and people liked it. It was that it was balancing out the Spock logic thing with Kirk mediating between them. And that's interesting. Whereas it's just like, oh, a female McCoy, we'll just add her to the TNG crew, which doesn't, everyone's nice to each other. And like, oh, you got this ornery lady showing up and being like sort of unnecessarily aggravating to people. But
doesn't like her. Like, they never warm to each other.
Yeah.
She's quite ugly. He's quite dismissive of her at times, and as he's our hero, we take his side.
That's true.
We don't like her either.
And it was funny to see her for just like a little bit in this episode.
I like the actor, but the character.
The actor's great.
Yeah.
And she's from TOS as well.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that.
We got to watch that episode of TOS. And
was it in Picard or one of the other new ones where they've actually got a USS Pulaski?
I think it was Picard.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they asked her to come back for season three, but she said no. She'd be a little bit older than the average age of that crew as well, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she was actually able to do it, but she declined.
I think she's still hanging around. Something to look up on the old internet.
The old internet.
Ye old internet. We are coming up on a break soon, but I did want to mention just generically Dan, you mentioned the snappy music and the silly jazzy music.
Yeah, I also have yet to mention how I liked how Data, even though the craps part was silly, how Data was like snapped at the end. He did that.
We'll get to the craps bit. But I wanted to mention the creepy season two synth music. Like, because season two was like in season three, TNG got the old orchestra and they started doing more orchestral stuff. But season two,
happy synth.
Season two, they did a bunch of crazy synth stuff, and this episode has tons of like that really unnerving, creepy. Like, this is the vision of the future nightmare.
You mean like this one,
Colonel S. Ritchie?
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Colonel.
Blah. What do you know? Is there a term for that?
Riker,
it's all
go
like,
ahead.
Blah. It's a flange. Blah.
I don't know, Jesse. Blah. You might know better than I would. It's like a cat about to throw. Blah. Blah. Blah.
Blah. And you sound just like my ex-wife.
Oh no. Time for a break.
Shoot.
All right. We'll take a quick break. And when we're back, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, we do have a second break fun 'em up. And I think all of you all are going to enjoy this.
So don't turn that dial, because then you wouldn't be listening to our show because we're not on the radio. So put in your podcast tapes.
Stop saying
and press
radio.
The play on the podcast tape so you hear us podcasting over your Walkman.
Right. All right, so Dan's going to workshop that over the break, and we will be back.
It'll be better next time.
we will be right back. All right. Okay, we are back.
Chief O'Brien? Yep.
We have returned.
Where would I stay?
If you are just joining us now because of some peculiarity of how you do things in your life.
I'm going to start the podcast from the beginning.
We are joined by Isaac from Unplanned Trek.
I like you fellas. You got style.
Isaac is joining us from tomorrow, and we're joining him from yesterday.
Wait, what? So,
it's already in the future.
It's just a crazy idea.
Because he's chilling over there in Tasmania while are hanging out in the lower foothills of the Washington, D.C. metro region.
Yeah, extraordinary.
We're in the Virginia part of that metro.
I find it stimulating.
Area. I'm sure you do, Picard. All right. So before we move along home to discussing the rest of the episode.
Okay, I had a couple data quotes that I'd like to look into. But all right, we want to do our fun-em-up?
Let's do the fun-em-up, okay. And then we'll do we'll put a pin in it. We'll mark it down. We'll make a note right here, Dan, that as soon as we're done with these fun-em-ups, and we should be done swiftly, we will get to your whatever data business you were talking about. Okay, so
data them up.
Data mumps.
Data mumps.
I don't know. That sounds like a cool new app that the kids are using. This second break, Fun 'em Up, is about Pulp Fiction. Mm. And no, not the movie.
What? No,
I know we reference the movie a lot. No, this episode, The Royale, is an example of Pulp Fiction.
The Royale with cheese.
In the proper sense of the term, right? Mm. So I thought, why not look up some of these old Pulp Fiction books? Because, you know, they have funny titles and funny covers that look very silly. And I found a list of it was called the best of the worst Pulp Fiction covers.
Casual queries offered inconspicuously might prove fruitful.
So, sidebar, we'll get back to the fun of it in a moment. But I have it in my notes. Both that I hope that you'd pull that quote and that I think that's one of my favorite quotes of Data ever.
Yeah, it's pretty
all
awesome.
The flaws of this episode is there's something about the way he phrases that tickles me so much. Could you play it again, Dan?
Casual queries offered inconspicuously might prove fruitful.
It might even be a haiku. If it's not, it's pretty damn close. It has the vibe of a haiku.
It has a nice meter to it.
It does have an excellent fucking meter.
It's got a great delivery.
Casual queries offered inconspicuously might prove fruitful. Something philosophical
what
in that.
What I like about that too is might also means might not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like so it might not be fruitful.
It's not really saying much of anything.
It is not.
Exactly.
So it fits right in on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Shoot.
Self-deprecating humor endears the audience to us.
It's not as much, but it's
so much for your new turkey.
Yeah. Okay, fun them up.
Yeah?
Pulp Fiction, fun them up. These are a list of real titles, authors, and taglines on old Pulp Fiction books.
You mean titles?
No, I do not. Titles. I mean titles.
Titles?
No. We've talked about this in the past. Both Jesse and I have scolded you about this. We don't like it when you say that.
Nasty. Nasty.
Okay, let's just get started. There's only a few of these, but I think they're pretty fun. So the first one is called Man Hungry by Alan Marshall. And the tagline is the absorbing tale of an incredibly depraved woman who knew no bounds in her search for thrills.
That's a real title. Are we playing real or not real?
No, these are all real.
Oh, these are all real. I was going to say, that's a real title.
He's read that.
I'm only now realizing I could have made this much more fun by turning it into a game. They're all real. But feel free to guess that they're not real if you like as well.
Can I borrow that one? That one sounded good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to send the link. Well, I'll put the link in the show notes, the link to this, because you have to see the covers to really appreciate these, but the titles and the taglines are still pretty good. The next one is The Lowest Sins by Joe Castro. A beautiful girl with many paths of love open to her.
Wait a minute.
Many paths.
She chose the path between.
Okay, that's totally like carnal like
I don't know what it
imagery.
Means.
It's
probably
but
the best path.
It sounds naughty, but I don't know why.
No, it is because she's got paths down below and the one
paths
in between is the
between.
One you want to go to. It's very sexual.
I'm not super.
I'm going to say real. I know they're all real, but I'm still trying to win.
I think that one might be.
I'm not super fond of the way you said she's got paths down below.
That's what they're saying. I didn't make the title.
You're right.
And I don't want to get too explicit about it.
Nor did you make the title of the next book, which is called Ladder of Flesh.
Oh man,
by Sloane Britton. And the tagline or the blurb on the cover says, Broadway offered her a star-studded ladder to climb to the top. But when she put her foot on the first rung, she found herself climbing down a ladder of flesh into a cesspool of lesbian depravity.
Whoa.
And lesbian is capitalized.
Wow.
It's capital L lesbian.
Depravity.
This is one of my favorite of the bunch. Because it keeps going. She gets a ladder to climb up. But then, no, she climbs down the ladder into a cesspool of lesbian depravity. All right.
Not just regular depravity.
Do ladders work like that?
Apparently, that's the convenience. It sounds almost like a Mitch Hedberg joke, about the escalator. Sorry for the convenience, you know, with the escalators broken.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to use the elevator.
The ladder you can go up and down. Okay. So the next one is called A Bit of Fluff by Kimberly Kemp. And the tagline is, she was only 17, but her
nasty.
But her body but her body was already bought and paid for by another woman. A lesbian.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
And it's another capital L.
When
lesbian.
Were these books
capital
written?
L.
These are, you know, in like the 40s.
She's a lesbian.
She's a lesbian. Two more. This next one. I wanted to describe the cover. This one is called Stud Prowl by Don Holliday. And the slogan is actually what they did is they above the title stud they made it look like it says Passion Madness led him on a stud prowl. And it has a man who's wearing an iron collar with a chain around it, and there's a scantily clad woman in lingerie holding a whip.
Sounds good to me.
I bet it does. And last, but to me, certainly not least, is the book Lady Wrestler by James Harvey with the slogan, she wrestled with sin and she got pinned.
Oh,
thank you, Tom. No. I find it stimulating. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Come.
Dark and stormy night.
Lady Wrestler. All right, folks.
Smells like toast in here.
All right. Oh, Dan, are you? Oh, Dan's smart. He's prepping ahead
toast
here.
Toast-em-ups.
Okay.
It's
so,
not Vegemite on toast, is it?
We've done the Fun-Em-Up. We're done with that. But Dan has done. Dan's got some toast, and he's got some Vegemite.
Toasty taste-em-ups.
But I don't have a thing.
Use your you in a finger?
I can use my finger.
No. I guess I should get him. I should probably get you a knife, but I don't.
Go get him a knife.
I mean, I could just use my finger if you don't care.
So okay, since we had Isaac on, we're like, you know, Isaac has justifiably critiqued Dan's Vegemite smearing capacity or capability because
I got a spare one.
We had previously,
and he's going to do it with his finger. Like,
I think he got a plastic knife.
I had
Jesse
a plastic
got
one.
Jesse's. He was never in Boy Scouts. I don't think you weren't in Boy Scouts, were you?
No.
But you do come prepared.
I'm prepared.
You are prepared.
I got plastic.
Okay.
Well, while the toast is getting ready, of course, I live in a place with the metric system too.
Yeah.
What do you think Australia calls a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh my God, I can't think of anything.
A Royale with cheese?
No, that would be like Frenchie.
No. We call it a quarter pounder with cheese.
Whoa. You tricked us.
It's because you guys, you're so captured by the corporate culture of America that you're like, you're going to call it this, what we tell you to fucking call it.
Sounds good.
But you might like this. Our Burger King is called Hungry Jack's because there was a really small restaurant in rural New South Wales, I think, already called
Burger King.
So they couldn't get the copyright here. So it's Hungry Jack's here.
But it's still just Burger. It's just all, otherwise it's all the same.
I love how like a lot of shows and stuff, they'll have their own version of Burger something. Like Beavis and Butthead had Burger World. And then I think like that show Invincible has Burger Mart.
Yes.
Which is shortened to BM. But they always
Krusty
have some
Burgers.
Huh?
Krusty Burgers.
Krusty Burgers. Yeah. Some kind of, oh, it's always some kind of burger or something. I like it. It's a fun it's a fun game. If I had a show, I would want to come up with the name of their fast food burger joint.
Dan Burgers.
Dan Burgers.
More like Dan Boogers.
Oh, am
I Dan's right? Buns.
No.
Dan's Boogers. No. Dan'sBoogers.com. Go to Dan'sBoogers.com.
You could probably get Dan Burgers from room service. It's open 24 hours.
Oh yeah.
Room service.
We got some Dan Burgers.
If I'd said that smoothly, it would have been really funny. Except I forgot the word.
Pretty smooth.
Okay, Dan. So, all right. Yeah. So let's do some Vegemite action here. And then we'll get, so we got Dan, we've already pinned, Dan was talking about some data business. Now,
what's
Dan,
that?
Dan is smearing some Vegemite onto some toast.
I put a little
bit
on.
He's showing it to Isaac via Zoom, and Isaac is now going to try to determine whether it's too much, too little.
So have you only put it in a corner, or is it burnt in the corner?
No, you just put it in the corner.
I just put it in the corner because, just like, I didn't, corner. I did, in case I did it wrong. Wait, are we gonna be taking pictures of
can
this
you,
somehow?
Can you like spread that?
I can take a picture of it. Here, I'll take you. Just
so people need to see.
You guys talk. You guys okay. Do podcast stuff, and I'll come take a picture.
Okay, so Isaac, I'm sorry. Could you say that again? What do you think of this spread?
Yeah, I think that's way too much.
Even though there's no thickness.
So there's
to
a
it?
Big glob in the corner of the toast.
Okay, so I have to make less Vegemite.
Can I make some too?
So you should spread it around.
Yeah, if you have.
Do you mind having like a long pause? And I'll make you some and show you what it should look like.
Yeah, I would love to know if it's not too inconvenient.
Right. Yeah, I can easily do it. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay, right
I'll
on.
Make some toast.
This is directly from the source. I got a professional.
Yep. All right, we'll be back soon.
Okay.
All right. So excellent. Getting some
egg salad.
Some proper what do you call it? Instruction.
Instruction. That's the word.
Extraordinary.
It took me but a moment.
Native knowledge.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to talk about Star Trek, but it's also fun to nibble on some toast with some Vegemite, do some cross country, not the sport, but the cultural exchange type stuff, learning from each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that whole business about a quarter pounder with cheese and McDonald's in Australia.
Well, England still uses miles.
Yeah, but England ain't Australia.
No, you're right.
England,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't even imply something.
Good point. So, good point. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Man, I'm just saying.
We're all Anglo-Saxons.
I mean, you make us very sad and very accurate. You make
that's,
a very accurate point.
I mean,
point
that's
there.
Not a good thing to say, but you know what I'm saying.
No, but you didn't. You weren't saying. you didn't say.
It sounded bad.
No, it did. It sounded fine. It would have sounded bad if you implied it's a good thing that we're
No, it's a confusing thing.
It's a damn good thing that we're all Anglo-Saxons here.
I meant, no.
Don't worry about it, friend.
It's a strange and confusing thing.
It's not a promising beginning.
They don't say duty.
No.
They say shit.
There's got to be another word. No culture has one word for poop.
We say crap.
Crap and shit.
But you don't have...
There's no cute Australian terms for that? Because Australia is like famous for having some pretty clever slang. And
like chunder.
And some good... chunder is a good one, right?
Mm-hmm. It is a good one.
Wallaby?
Yeah, I guess.
Wallaby.
When we're talking, we won't say, you know, that shit. We'll probably say that's bullshit. But that's... Yeah. And you push that bull hard. It's like, bull. You got to go deep on that.
Like
yeah,
that.
You can't go, that's bullshit. It's like, that's bullshit.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to start doing that.
That's
so
bullshit.
So to toast them up, while I was spreading the Vegemite, I'm not sure if I'd actually been clear by telling you that you've got to put butter on it. Do you do that?
No, I don't. I haven't put butter on it. No, you've got to
put
butter
on it.
Oh, yeah. So but this is going to change it a lot for you.
Okay.
Butter brings it out.
Oh, I'll get
taste.
Some butter.
It mellows it out. So it's it's not like Nutella. We don't just go... we don't just... Leather it on and just use that. You want butter on first, and then it's a light spread. So I made some, and I cut it in triangles because triangles shows love, whereas rectangles shows I'm in a rush, and I just wanted to show you guys that I care. You know. So this is what
butter?
It should look like. You have a lot more butter and just a little bit of Vegemite, and then you won't get that really, it's way too salty kind of feel.
Wait, so that's...
This will make you feel...
So that's the amount of Vegemite. I don't even know how you spread it that thin. I thought I would spread it just about as thin as I knew how.
Do you have some sort of special knife you use there?
We should. Just take me.
I'm going to take a picture of that. Yeah, keep holding that up there for
this
a second.
This shows what a gluttonous American I am, because like I was like, I put on as little as I possibly could, and it's still like way too much.
From our end, when we see, you know, Americans eating Vegemite, it's usually that they've caked it on light Nutella. Yeah. And it will taste disgusting at that level, because it's very salt heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you imagine how much you'd want to sprinkle a bit of salt on your meal, you want to sprinkle just as much Vegemite. So just a light touch, you'll get the taste and the toast. And with butter, particularly melted butter on your toast, it just really tastes really nice. It's a great start to the day.
I think you're going to have to make a new piece of toast.
Yeah. I think this toast is Mr. like, Globus. I think I need to use something with less, that's lighter in color.
So you can see the contrast between the Vegemite and the
bread. I'm definitely not putting it on as much as I would with Nutella. Nutella, I'd slap that stuff on.
Slap it on.
Yeah. Do you agree that cutting toast with triangles does show more love than rectangles?
I was interesting that you said that, because Patrick, you might not have heard that because you were off mic, but
I was grabbing the butter.
Saying that when you cut it, bread in triangles, that shows love, but rectangles, it means you're in a hurry.
Triangles takes care and it's delicate. You got to get it right.
I could see that, because I do usually cut things in triangles. I do have an innate preference for the triangle.
And you know what
shape.
Used to piss me off?
It's
as
a strong shape.
What pissed me off as a kid is my mom never cut my sandwiches in triangles, because I always wanted them in triangles, but I never associated with more time. But that must be it. She just didn't want to spend the extra time on me.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe she didn't like
Dan, are you firstborn?
I'm a secondborn.
Yeah, I bet firstborn got it.
You know it. You know it. Okay, how about this?
You're getting better. Okay. Getting closer.
It's better, but I'd still say there's too much.
Yeah. Wow, I don't even know how to put less on.
You didn't put the butter on right.
All right.
Well, the butter's cold, so I can't like...
Yeah, no, we're going to
You got to toast that shit.
We still got plenty of podcasts to do,
I know.
Let the butter warm
toast
up a little
bread,
bit.
Toast the bread, so then the butter warms up.
If I toast the bread, then it turns brown and you can't see.
No, toast it lighter.
Let's just...
Let the butter sit a bit.
Let's just go easy.
It's good
on
to
that
sit
toast,
the butter sit out a bit. We've got lots of Star Trek
that
to talk about.
That was the lightest little toast.
Okay, that's fine. We'll get it all sorted out in the end. I'm just saying, let it chill for a bit, and then at your leisure, as we're moving along, you know, you can pop another one in and check it out.
Okay.
All right. So Dan, you had some business about Data. You were going on and on about this Data business.
For like a second. No, there was just a couple quotes that I wanted to explore just briefly. That's not a big thing. It's just brief exploration.
I mean,
into
it doesn't have,
what
to,
data
it doesn't have
says.
To be brief. You know, we gotta, you know, you gotta fill time here.
Here's brief number one.
Okay.
They do exist, but they do not register as either man or machine.
That's the only two choices, huh? Man or machine.
I guess not. I guess so. Yeah.
And
no,
what is
no plants?
What about like silicone-based life form? Is that considered like a machine?
What about like vegetable or mineral?
Or holograms. They could be holograms.
They could be.
Holograms.
I was surprised that they didn't even like have an offhand mention of like, these could be, is this a alien hologram place? Because it kind of operated like
holograms?
That, right? It operated like a lame holodeck program where some of the NPCs would interact with you, but like other NPCs would just ignore you in a psychopathic, bizarre. Like that, the lady at the slot machine was upset me. Like that whole scene where Data's all trying to talk to her and she's just like, and putting the coins in, because it was upsetting.
That's
both.
What it's really like.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because if you go to Las Vegas, it's like you see zombie people. It's just
or
like,
Atlantic
ching,
City.
Ching. Yeah. I mean, probably more so in Atlantic City these days.
By this stage, they'd established that the holodeck had well and truly existed.
Yeah.
Picard had played Dixon Hill, which is a far better program than this one.
Yep.
They never said hologram. They never said holodeck. But they're surprised that they're not computer or people. So it did seem surprised, because it's just obvious to us as the audience. Like, okay, holodeck.
When they tried to leave the casino, you saw that they would go in and just come back in again.
Which I thought they acted very well.
Yeah,
considering how silly the gag is.
Yeah, this gag's silly because
you keep going around.
I know what you'd expect is for them to walk through and come out the other side, but the other side would be a replica of the side they were on. You know what I'm saying? Instead, they very obviously. You can see them walking in a circle, like behind you. It's like, I just want to say, stop walking in a circle. Just go straight to the other side. But like, for some reason,
it's not how it works.
It was just like a.
You've identified the reason, Dan, because they've got to come back in the room and be all like, whoa.
Well, the thing is it was a cheaply done effect, because if they wanted to put a little more effort into, if they wanted to put more effort into it, they would have had them come out the other side, but the other side would be exactly the same.
But I
as
think
the
it's a classic. It's a classic bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, it
Star Trek
is. It
bit.
Is like kind of
and
it
like
is
that music that's all like dreamy and like.
Yeah, it is some. It is like a vaudeville gag or something.
It was, and yeah, yeah. I thought Brent Spiner did it the most vaudeville-y when it came out because Data. Yeah. So the thing about this episode is every now and then, especially in early season, couple seasons of TNG, every now and then the producers or writers, I don't know who, maybe it was Brent Spiner, they were just like, hey, you know what? How about in this episode, Data's like totally weird. He's yeah. like acts like a complete like fucking weirdo this episode because like Data does a lot of that.
And baby needs new pair of shoes.
And then he does a snap. I like that snap part.
I enjoy it. Like some of the individual things, like they're funny, but like when they kind of come together, I don't know, it just throws me off. It's like, why is Data acting like a lunatic this episode?
Or he like fixes the dice. They're like, these dice are not weighted properly. And he all like crunches them to properly.
So, I mean, and that goes into the climax of like how silly it was, because I would be more likely to believe, if since Data can crush dice into the perfect weight, I'd be more likely to believe that he can purposefully roll whatever dice roll he wants instead of beating the odds of craps, which is not something you can do.
Oh, 100%. It didn't make any sense. What would have made sense if they were good dice to begin with, and Data used his robot skills, his android powers, to manipulate the dice, to unbalance them, to favor the odds he wants.
But instead,
but they didn't want him to be a cheater, right? I think that I'm sure maybe they had that idea, and then some Gene Roddenberry or somebody was like, Data can't be a cheater because he's Starfleet through and through. So they were like, okay, they're imbalanced dice, and he's going to correct them, and somehow that's going to make him roll 18 in a row.
Riker asked. So there's two points where Riker asked Data to elaborate, and then he just interrupts him. The first time was when Data was explaining the plot of the book, and then Riker just kind of like interrupted and was like, okay, that's enough. But another happened here when he totally yada 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 like Data's like method for winning at craps. He's like, it's like Riker was like, elaborate, and Data was like, well, it's quite simple. If you do this, this, and this, you'll win at craps. And if you go like this, he's like, oh, that's cool. I don't care. Whatever, just go do it. It's like, you have the secret. You have the secret to winning at craps. And Riker's like, it's okay. Well, we don't need to know those kind of.
Wesley,
it's a post scarcity future.
I know, but it's still kind of like, it's like right up there with Fermat's theorem, except like Fermat's theorem is possible to solve. You know, so I don't know. It seems like quite, and I have a hard time believing that Data. First of all, okay, this brings me my next one.
Ah, good. I was wondering if we were still on this list of Data business.
Yeah.
Blackjack accessing.
This brings me to the next part, because like, first of all, this must be early Star Trek, because I don't remember Data saying accessing out loud whenever he had to like scan his memory banks.
Not later on.
No. Yeah, like why would you say that out loud? Like, that seems ridiculous.
Because he's a lunatic this episode.
Yeah, right. So, but a reason I was brought to this from that one is because he is accessing his data banks about Blackjack, yet he doesn't know what card counting is, because that's just so they could do the gag about like, you know, if you count cards, you count cards, and then you win by counting cards. And he's like, well, why would I count them if I already know how many I have? To which, like, she, the Vanessa goes like,
yeah.
that's right. She sounds like,
but like, yeah. Yeah. But like,
yeah.
I don't know. He seemed to know certain bits and others. But yeah, it was always ridiculous when a computer says out loud that they're accessing their data.
It is an example of going for the gag instead of having things be internally consistent. And that's not always a problem, right? That's your mileage will vary, because sometimes it's more fun to do that. Not take the story too seriously. Other times it can be sort of aggravating because, it's like Blackjack is not that complicated. It doesn't seem like the type of thing a super genius android positronic brain robot needs to be all like, let me think about that. Let me pull up that very complicated game from my fucking memory banks.
Right. This one wasn't such a big deal, but it was early how Data showed a little more emotion earlier on in the seasons.
We cannot see it.
You can tell he's very like, he's like, huh.
See
he's
it.
Like amazed.
We cannot see it.
I thought this was also a weird thing that must be like an 89, when was this, 90? 90?
This was 1989. This must aired on March 27th, 1989.
This must have been a big thing that they said in 89, because I don't ever hear anyone say this anymore.
The odds favor standing pat.
Standing pat. When was the last time anyone said standing pat?
Oh, it's an old phrase, but it's still...
But it checks out.
It's still valid. Mm-hmm. I don't know the last time I heard that, but yes, it did seem a little weird.
So
I thought with that introduction he was going to say dweeb. I haven't heard that since 1989.
Dweeb. Well, it's time to bring that one back.
I started saying that recently. Dweeb.
Oh, did you, Jesse? Who did you call it, dweeb?
It was people at work.
Yeah, deserved it. Whoever it was.
Jesse, from time to time, you also say bozo. I like when you say bozo. Oh, yeah. Bozo.
That's a funny one. Just to be like, that
I've been
guy's
saying
a,
that one for years.
That guy's a bozo.
Isaac, when was the last time you said bozo?
It's been a while. In our daytime TV here, when they're trying to say swear words, but they're not allowed to because of the time of day, a popular one here is rack off.
Rack off.
Now, is that something
that no one says that in real life?
Now here's the question. Off. Do they, rack is that what they say like on like live programs or whatever instead of cursing, or do they dub that over if they're showing something that has cursing?
No, this is like soap opera stuff here.
So they just, it's included in the dialogue.
It's written.
It's scripted. Yeah,
rack off.
It's not like when,
does it mean the same thing as fuck off?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's just not, it's fine to say it. Yeah.
So it's,
Get Bent is one of my favorite ones as well, because no one says that anymore.
Yeah, Get Bent is good.
It's unlike in Pulp Fiction when they overdub them saying motherfucker, they say mother lover.
Yeah, it's so silly.
In one of my favorite songs, Shook by Salt-N-Pepa, they self-censored by saying, like Prince said, you're a sexy mother.
Yes.
Which rhymed with the previous line. Yeah. But we all know what they meant.
That's true.
But Dan, earlier you were talking about the 80s stuff, and I thought, you know, it is good to touch on that a little bit.
80s hair.
That status report. You had that, the hotel assistant manager was played by Sam Anderson.
Yeah, that guy.
And in my mind, I was just like, it's that 80s guy.
Right. Totally.
He was in a bunch of other stuff, too.
Perfect Strangers.
He was in Forrest Gump. He was in a lot of things. But
yeah, he was like, is there a Mr. Gump, Ms. Gump?
Yeah.
But that guy just he like especially on TV,
just like the Texan guy, he was in a bunch of
stuff. Yeah, the Texan guy. So it's just if you watched a lot of that TV either growing up or in reruns, these are just people you just saw. Yeah. You never knew their name.
Right.
They were just there showing up on Golden Girls or whatever.
That's another classic aspect of TNG.
Yeah.
This episode.
He was a lousy bellhop. He didn't do anything to help.
Well,
they asked for
his own thing.
They even asked, he was like, you got to talk to the manager. And he's like, let me talk to the manager. Yeah. He's like, he's not here.
He's one of those kind of guys.
Man, and he pulled something that the guy at the airport pulled on me once when he gave him a smile like
airports suck.
Yeah, the airport, our flight got canceled, so I was just going from place to place that the employees kept telling me to go to, and I was just like falling in random places.
Which airport was
it? It was in Canada.
Oh Lord.
And anyway, so like I go up to one and like I see this guy and he's like, can't you see we're closed here? I was like, I'm just going where they told me to go, man. And he's like, this way. And then like I'm waiting in line, sitting with a bunch of people, like waiting to figure out where our flight's going. And then I see him because it's my turn and I'm like, oh, hi, excuse me. And then he puts his finger up in my face and says, wait.
Whoa.
And then smiles. He has that evil smile, that I'm pissed off smile.
Oh, no.
He's like, wait a minute.
Oh,
and then
no.
He left and he didn't come back. And etched in my brain forever. Is this dude's finger in my face? I'm not usually the type of person that gets like annoyed by that kind of thing, but man, he put that finger in my face.
Yeah.
You know, that pointing up finger,
it was an angry finger.
Yeah, he gave me an angry finger.
Was
I understand. I understand he had a stressful day, so I forgive him. But like that will be in my brain for the rest of my life. That image.
Was that the first person you ever killed?
You see, I would have just told him to rack off.
Yeah, exactly. If only I had
rack
vocabulary.
Off, bozo.
But but speaking of that clerk,
get bent, dweeb. Yes, the clerk.
What a dweeb, man.
What a fucking dweeb. No, the clerk. You know who was a dweeb was the bellhop guy who gets shot.
Yeah,
that guy was a dweeb.
So what I was going to say about the clerks at the beginning, he was like, "We've been expecting you," but they never go back to that. It's like kind of like the food service, the room service thing.
Right.
Well, you think that's going to go somewhere, but it never goes anywhere.
Yeah. Well, because you could say that
they
it
don't
was.
Have any guck.
You could say it was they were expecting the foreign investors, but then he's all surprised at the end. The hotel managers, he's surprised when they're like, "Oh, you're the investors."
And there's one other part that they don't go back to that I can remember.
Hold that thought. We do need to take a break.
Oh shit!
So you hold that. Are you holding on to it?
I'm
hold on to
hold on to the fucking.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sirree. Yeah, and I'm good looking too. Huh? I'm a get out of business.
Okay, so the audience at home, you didn't get to hear the part before we were recording the podcast where Dan was telling us that he has the profile of a wicked crone because he has some sort of facial dysmorphia.
I know. I got a hook. A tiny
now
hook
now
nose.
He's playing clips talking about how cute he is. Anyway, we will take a break.
Well, that reminds me about something cute that happened in the episode.
Okay, aww. Great. You remember that? And then the other point that I presume you're still holding on to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We will hear
yes,
that.
Sirree.
We'll hear that when we come back. And that will be right back.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Maybe this trick will bring us some luck.
Okay, we're back.
Base is on stun.
All right. Welcome. Welcome back to your planet. Welcome.
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 Welcome. Welcome.
Now, Dan has promised us, so Jesse, Isaac, and I are sitting here with bated breath because of all the Vegemite.
If you got to win, you got to hear.
Because Dan promised, both he was holding one point and then he referenced something that he, what was it, cute? You said there was
it's
something
cute.
Okay, so there's something cute and some other point that he did not characterize. So we don't know how to describe it yet. But well, he's gonna tell us what it is. We're very excited for that.
Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is actually related to the what I was claiming that the hotel clerk saying they were expecting them didn't go anywhere. Here's something else that didn't really go anywhere. Mm. When Data was saying, like, there's no communication, we should leave. He was, like, saying that we should get out of here, go back to the ship. Mm-hmm. And Riker's like, no way, we're here, let's check it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then later Picard says, it's unlike Commander Riker not to follow procedure. Mm-hmm. When he lost contact with the Enterprise, he should have returned immediately to the beam down coordinates.
Indeed, he should have.
These two moments seem to imply that there's something weird going on with Riker.
Yeah.
Because, like, the fact that Data's like, we should go, and Riker's like, we should stay, that's kind of like could go either way. But then when Picard is straight up like, Riker doesn't usually behave like this.
He must be under the influence of an alien device.
But, and we don't
or
know.
Or an alien lady.
And we don't, and we were left.
Or denim lady.
And we're left not knowing why Riker didn't go back out because, and it never didn't go anywhere. So I don't understand like that whole exchange either. That was a pointless exchange.
I agree that it did sort of prime the audience into thinking that there was something weird going on beyond just, I guess, Riker being bemused by the scenario, being like, this is hilarious. Although, I don't know, with the vibe of this place was giving off, if I was way further than anybody on Earth could have gotten to at that time, and there's a little weird casino out of a book, that would freak me the fuck out.
Riker was pretty amused throughout several points in the
episode.
He
was amused until they were trapped, but they walk around for like a couple, like for 10 seconds before they're like, oh, the communications have stopped working. And then Riker's just like, okay, well, that's cool. We're just going to keep walking around, as opposed to, maybe, you know, we don't hear Picard giving us orders anymore, or asking for updates. Maybe we should go back outside and check it out. That doesn't happen. And then, so that's the first point where I'm like, okay, Riker's being weird. And then it's accentuated by the clips you played.
Right, and it would make sense if they had shown a scene where Picard was trying to contact them, you know, and he was unable to, but they didn't show that. It wasn't until later, it wasn't until after
Well, they
that,
didn't want to draw attention
well,
to it.
After, it wasn't until
they weren't ready to, let, if, to until, have that conversation.
It wasn't until after that scene that they approached the idea that they couldn't leave. It wasn't until after that. And I'm saying, like, then they should, if they were going to put that part in, I think they should have put it after that. They discovered that part, but it's whatever. So speaking of, this actually goes into the point that...
people at home are like, that's what you're complaining about this episode?
Well, this...
No, like,
there's like all this other stuff.
Like I said at the top, like the bits on the ship didn't matter in this episode. And Picard's pissed off that Riker doesn't check in. But the only reason that that Picard stops being pissed off is because his mood changes, which Troy consents. It's not because he's actually now following procedure. It's just because his mood's changed.
You're right. That's a good point. I forgot about the whole Troy thing.
Oh, yeah. When she said Riker's amused, it almost seemed like Picard was a little annoyed by that. But
amused?
Like,
yeah, he was. He's like, well, no, we're at work.
Don't have fun. Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't be having fun at work.
We were about to talk about amused Riker, as we are currently talking about, but that actually leads into the other point I was going to make before the cute one.
Oh, before the cute point.
Right, before, well... Is this
connected
to the... this is the cute point.
Oh, this is the cute point. Okay, I'm sorry. Just wanted to clarify that.
When Data says...
What sort of business do you suppose he is getting down to?
Picard gives that cute... Data's being cute face. He gives that smile that Riker does when someone's being cute, and he gave a Data's being cute face. Yeah. He was also amused...
Oh, he doesn't know what he's saying, that kind of look.
Or right has been Oh yeah, the other point. I had another point, didn't I?
I sort of lost track, Dan. I gotta be honest, but
the other point.
Please feel free.
The other point where he was amused was when he was reading about like Richie's diary entry, And Richie said, this book is terribly written. And you could tell that Riker was amused by that. But then it was immediately followed up with him talking about how he was in his own personal hell. And that was actually a good juxtaposition between Riker being amused and like reading something really disturbing. So that was an effective moment, although it was kind of pointless. But
And that could be one of the issues with this episode where, again, mileage may vary, but there is some jarring tonal confusion between goofy hilariousness and intensely upsetting dreamscape horror stuff. Totally, you have a sexually abusive guy, you know.
Sorry, Patrick, it's kind of like what I said last week, that this wasn't on your heist list, and it's because it's not a heist, but it should be a heist.
they focused on the Texas oil man.
It's in a casino, and they get money through, and it is, okay, so one
like, it goes, the Texas guy goes from,
I like you fellas, you got style.
Yeah.
To,
There.
It's not like narrated as a heist.
No.
The structure is not a heist structure.
Because they're not actually getting anything. They're just experiencing these events.
Right.
The thing about this episode is they have this twist at the end where it's like, okay, you got to play through the plot in order to complete the mission or whatever, and that storyline has been used elsewhere, and it's a clever thing to do. However, I think it's kind of funny that the way they played it is like, oh, we've got to find a way to raise money to buy this place. Mm-hmm. That's how they're going to solve it. I thought it'd be funny if like part of the plot of the book required them to actually like run the hotel for a little while, and so like Worf is getting all grumpy because he has to be like, I don't know, he's like the maid or something, like,
what is
whatever.
This place?
And then that's how they have to resolve the story. Or the story, or have the story be like where like Riker and Data have to like go on a date, because that's like in the story, you know. You get to get a little bit more creative with how they have to resolve this, other than just playing craps.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
I've got two things that impressed me in the episode. The first is how consistent, pendulum-like consistency, the doors. They don't increase in speed. They don't get slower. They're an even roll.
That's a good point.
You don't have to push them. They're just continual. So I quite like that.
And I was also, I like that this is one of your favorite parts of the episode.
That's the VIP. and did you guys, did it surprise you how many extras were in this episode?
Yeah.
I just noticed it week when I was watching it. I'm like, there are so many people in it. Like,
I guess in the 80s you didn't have to pay people.
It's like Deep Space Nine.
You just sprinkle a little cocaine and maybe some slices of ham.
Yeah, 1989. That's
people
right.
Show up, just put them in costumes. You know, you got denim. They didn't even put them in costumes. They just had a girl walking around in denim.
Yeah, that's what it's so weird. It was so out of place. But that
looks
casino,
pretty full casino though. The casino here is empty most of the time. Really,
yeah.
I mean, unless it's a Friday or Saturday night.
No, I think a lot of the casinos here are like that too.
I think it was too brightly lit, but other than that,
yeah, that's always too brightly lit in Star Trek.
So. Yes.
So, to go back, my redeeming points are the doors work and they paid extras.
Yeah. Yep.
So it is an episode. They put some effort into it.
They also put effort into the gross skeleton man. The gross skeleton man was like extra gross.
They didn't find a Bible. They didn't find a Bible in the.
Yeah, they did. They stopped. They stopped doing that in the year 2030.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only 6 years away.
You just get it online. You know, you get it on your phone. You can get download the Bible app.
Yeah, but like. You really have to. No one's going to do that, like, you know, without. No one, like, somebody might stumble upon the Bible in a drawer at the hotel, but they're not going to stumble upon downloading the app if they weren't thinking about it, you know? The hope is that they get.
The Bible app.
The hope is that they catch someone without any books and they're like, oh, I guess nothing to read. I guess I'll read this Bible.
Let's read the Bible.
just read Genesis.
Yeah, I tried reading Genesis.
Genesis?
It's really boring.
Genesis?
Can't do this.
Tell
on
me
Nintendo.
More about
it. Doesn't have Genesis. A very promising start.
No, it's
not a promising beginning.
the end's not all that great either. It's a couple of good twists and turns.
The end, yeah.
So I was just saying, the problem is that nothing that happened during this episode, except for the foreign investors that got sort of shoehorned in at the end, never led anywhere. Nothing they discovered actually helped them escape. It was all just some stuff happening. The resolution was that Data figured out how to win at craps, which has nothing to do with anything that happened in the episode. I mean, we saw Mickey D. We saw Mickey D leave, which I suppose that was supposed to let the crew know that the leaving was possible. But like, how? Yeah. We already know they're non-living alien creatures, so anything is possible for them.
I bought into that. That part didn't bother me. I was like, okay, I get it. He figured it out that if that guy can leave, and it's sort of disappointing that Colonel
still
Richard,
a classic episode.
Colonel Richard.
I mean, but for me, if I was in what is essentially a simulation or some kind of like holodeck
holograms,
like. I would assume that if a character left the room, if an NPC leaves the room in a video game, I'm not going to assume I can follow them through that door into that little hut that they escaped into. It's often the case in video games where NPCs will go into an area you can't access.
But you're speaking from the perspective of somebody who's dealt with a far more advanced and well-developed culture of video gaming than the poor souls who produced this episode in 1989. They're playing Pitfall and, maybe
I don't think it takes a brilliant person to, like...
Dan, what are some games that came out in 1989?
I don't think it takes a brilliant person to come up with the idea that computer characters can go where the main character can't.
Well, you had NES, right?
Well, yeah, what was it? What was your favorite NES Genesis game from 1989, Dan?
I don't remember the exact years of these video games.
Yeah, you do. I'm trying to pretend.
I think to back that up, though, they had tried the door, and Mickey tried the door, and it worked for him. So yeah. There's no reason to now think the door should now work, even though I've tried it before.
Yeah.
But... I told you it was my favorite character, the door, but there's no reason why it should not work.
The door was cool.
Like, that was a character.
You can tell they had some...
I did like the door. Yeah.
The contractors, the prop people, the set people who put the door together did a very good job.
I would go with what Isaac's saying, where the door was a character in this episode. How they talk about how New York is the character in this movie or whatever.
Yeah, right. Like, it's got like a nice R's on the door.
Yeah, it's like spinning when they first see it. It's got personality. And like Isaac said, it like makes it a point to be like sort of evenly spinning. And like it can...
Consistent.
Yeah, and it changes. Like, there's character development in the door, sort of. Speaking of video games, though, like, I can say that the first time I played, that I saw Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo Entertainment System, it blew my fucking mind. Because I'd always grown up with, like, I played Atari and, like, the Apple II Plus video games. Right. But then, like, Super Mario Brothers, I was like, this is, like, a whole new world of video games.
But what happened when Sega Genesis came out with Sonic the Hedgehog?
That was cool. I was into it.
But your mind was not blown as much
Nintendo? The next time my mind was blown that much was probably...
TurboGrafx-16?
It was probably Super Mario World.
Lynx. Oh, Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo was pretty fucking rad.
And then Pilot Wings. When I saw Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings was good. Pilot Wings was
good. But no, Genesis Sonic was pretty cool. But yeah.
Pilot Wings has a bit of a creepy liminal vibe to it, sort of like this episode.
Yeah, because I think it's the way the background sort of scales in and out and sort of makes you think you're close to it.
Mickey D kept making me think of McDonald's because that's a nickname people use for McDonald's. And like, hey, you want to go to Mickey D's? And it's like, if I got to be careful now, because if somebody's all like, hey, Patrick, do you want to go to Mickey D's? And then like we end up at this motherfucker's house, I will be upset.
He's got no French fries.
Yeah, he's got no French fries, and he's got some weird ass silk parachute pants. Nasty.
Boy, you have that.
He's got a girlfriend that doesn't want to be with him and wants to be with the bellhop instead.
Yeah. Oh, and did you catch that subtle bit? And because I've seen this episode a million times, but I don't know that I ever fully understood the context of what was going on with Mickey and Rita until watching the episode this time, because the bellhop at one point says that Rita's only staying with you because you feed her sickness, which I now realize is a reference to a heroin addiction or some other addiction.
Something like that.
Mickey D, maybe it's fucking fries. You know, the old lard fries that they use at McDonald's.
Lard fries.
Whatever it is.
Lard fries! Lard fries!
Big Mac.
Lard fries!
I mean, I should say beef tallow. Really, it was beef tallow.
Beef tallow fries!
and why do we not have any sponsors? Dan, you should be reading commercials for us.
Come to McDonald's for the lard fries.
So much for your new turkey.
Mickey D is feeding Rita cocaine or heroin or amphetamines or quaaludes or whatever business poppers. I don't know, whatever amyl nitrate.
Whatever
I don't
they
know,
did back then.
Whatever Rita was into, because we never get to meet Rita. And that's another example of ludes. There's the tonal shifts. It's not even tonal shifts. They're layering on top because this is a silly plot. They're telling us this is a silly book with a silly plot, and Data's acting goofy, and everyone's acting goofy. And then the bellhop is all like, "I love my dame," and the guys are all like, "I'm gonna fuck you," you know. And it's meant to be silly. And yet, if you pay attention to what they're saying, the bellhop is saying, "I had a girlfriend, and you got her addicted to drugs, and now you use her as a sexual slave in return for drugs, and then you're gonna kill me," and then he kills that guy, right? That's fucked up. That's like a horrific thing.
That's pretty bad.
And just this is nominally a young adult children's show. I watched this as a child.
And then to how Texas Oil Man, how we talked about how he wanted Vanessa to go broke so he could get with her because she would need him from then on. And then it talks about we're supposed to assume that subplot of the gentleman seducing is not the right word, but you know, gentleman cohorting with a younger woman.
Cohorting would be like if they got together as a group.
Okay, well they kind of did
with some sort of identifiable.
Well, the point was they were the subplot boundaries. Was supposed to be
with an esprit de
corps. The subplot was that the older gentleman and the younger woman were going to get together and like murder her husband or something.
That was the one that Picard.
It's in the book.
Cahoots. That's the Texas Oil Man that I think we're led to believe.
I believe so.
So we have two murderers.
Otherwise, it's another disconnected thing.
We have two murderers. One which like is a molester, you know, and the other which is also like a molester with drugs. So I don't know. It's pretty deep, pretty dark. Pretty.
On that as well, nobody cared or tried to help the bellhop when he got shot.
No. They were like, I already told you. He gets shot. There's no visible bullet wound or blood. He just falls down.
If you got to win, you got to hit.
Those doors just keep a spinning.
Yeah. A cowboy hat Data is cute. He is cute. And that image of Data in the cowboy hat is a persistent one.
He was all trying to give Vanessa tips, and like Texas Oil Man was like, he was all grumpy because Data was like trying to win her money.
Yeah. And he was talking about, it was a term I'd never heard before, five card Charlie. He was like, "Do you know what the odds are against getting a five card Charlie?"
Right. Well, it's just like
the odds favor standing pat.
Which, by the way, I didn't agree with Data because she had a 13, right? And if you're playing blackjack and you have a 13, you hit, right? Don't you always hit?
Yeah.
Like, you don't hit if you have like a 19 or 18, maybe, but like, come on.
I think a five card Charlie must mean like you have five cards to win at blackjack.
Well, I figured that out because Data had five cards and he won with five cards. And the guy was criticizing him for trying to get, he had four cards.
Access.
He also gave up on a 19 game winning streak and went against Data at the end. Like he only had to stay for one more bet.
Inexplicably, he got like fucking pissed off at Data. Like he's like, "Are you trying to get back at me? Like what? I'm winning money to get back at you? You have nothing to do with it." And Data even pointed out, he's like,
"Is it personal?"
Data was like,
"Is it because I'm a rapist?"
Data even said like, "I told you not to fucking bet against me," and the guy bet against him. And on top of that, even if Data told him to bet against him, like, what does he think Data's going to throw the match so Texas Oil Man can win instead? That part didn't make sense. I don't know why they threw that part in either, where the Texas man was all offended. That didn't make any sense to me. It was pointless.
It was
unnecessary
extra characterization.
Like Jesse, if you played craps and you won,
Jesse, do you like playing craps?
Jesse, if you
no.
Jesse, do you like taking craps?
Shut up, Jesse. if you were playing craps and you won, would I then have the right to be like, "Jesse, did you win to get back at me somehow?" How would you feel if I did that? How would you feel?
He'd tell you to rack off.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You need to rack right off.
You're being very aggressive to Jesse. Dan.
No, I'm just trying to drive the point home. I wouldn't do that to Jesse.
He might.
You never know.
Oh, apparently Klingons can press through like building walls, because remember Worf was trying to press through that wall.
He tried to do it,
and they were like, "I can't do it."
They should have used Data for that.
I like that. And he picked the specific wall that he was like, "I'm gonna like move this slot machine, and then push the wall behind the slot machine." For some reason,
I can't push this building down, which means there must be something weird about it.
There was nothing that indicated a portal or a door or a cabinet or anything.
And apparently, and they were going to try to blow it away with phasers, which, so they must have had phasers that can actually hurt background objects. Because in a lot, I've brought this up before, in other episodes of various Star Trek incarnations, people will get zapped and fucked up, but then they'll hit like a little statue
it's
to the
setting.
They'll hit a little statue to the right of him, and then it won't even get charred. Nothing will happen to it, but it'll hurt the people.
It's
but
the
I guess
setting.
This wasn't one of those, because they were expecting it to break the wall down.
They should have gone computer.
Why not? Give it a try. In the future, they always do that. They're always trying that out.
Barclay did that in that one episode.
Broccoli. I did enjoy, again, problematic episode in a lot of ways. However, there are little bits and pieces in there, like the Data in a Hat and a couple other things.
Data in a Hat.
Another thing.
I already said this, but when he fucking like rolls the dice and snaps, he's that snap. That whole scene was terrible.
Well, that made me uncomfortable.
That whole scene was really confusing and weird, but like I liked when he snapped.
But what I liked when they were in the hotel room with Colonel Ritchie and Riker is like, oh, like the poor devil must have died in his sleep.
Looks like the poor devil died in his sleep.
Which is, first of all, I don't know. My understanding is it's pretty awesome to die in your sleep, and it's kind of something that people hope for, right? But anyway, okay, poor devil died in his sleep.
Colonel S. Ritchie.
But the funny joke and awesome characterization this is why it's good to watch every episode of the show, even if there are lame episodes, because I really like the subtle little interjection by Worf when Riker says he must have died in his sleep, and Worf says, what a terrible way to die. Because that's a Klingon thing, right?
And
kind of thing that passes by you don't even pay attention
to. True, that's a good point, because like it doesn't sound like a terrible way to die, but for a Klingon,
it's like the fucking worst. Can you imagine? You're like just like camping out with your targ, and you die of sleep apnea.
It'd be worse than losing both of your penises.
Well, okay, I mean, maybe that should be a topic for our Patreon show. what's worse, dying of sleep apnea or losing both your Klingon penises?
When they at the beginning, when they saw that piece of shuttle from NASA, it said NASA and it had a U.S. flag on it. And Picard was like, no Earth ship of that time could have traveled out this far. Mm-hmm. It said NASA right on there. You know, I don't know. Like, it seems like the evidence, they kind of like acted like they didn't know what it was at first.
You know what he was saying. He was saying they didn't have the propulsion capacity.
Data says, obviously
it's there, and so obviously there's a mystery as to why it's there, given it should not be there from the technology available at the time.
This is the exchange. Data says, analysis bears out that the object was definitely terrestrial in origin, dating mid-21st century. They says, no Earth ship of that time could have traveled out this far. What he's saying is that must be incorrect about what this is.
Well, Dan, because it could be a fake ship, right?
You mean it could be
hologram.
It could be a hologram. It could be a synthetic. It could be a replication. There are many things it could be.
So where would I stay?
So I don't disagree with Picard.
I've got a question to pose.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a trope finding space debris from the 20th century, It's too far away. So we've got this episode. We've at least got Voyager's the 37th and the motion picture.
And then you've got thing that the motion picture is based on in TOS, which is called, I think, the Changeling, which is basically a proto version of the motion picture where a satellite has been modified, an Earth satellite.
Has Star Trek ever done it well?
You know, that's a good question, actually. Yeah, because I'm not, it's been a while since I saw the 37s, but I don't have a specifically fond recollection of it necessarily.
Yeah, it should be a really good trope that pays off well, but I always feel like it's been a little bit dissatisfactory when, I don't know if that's a word, sorry.
If it's not, we're going to make it a word.
With the promise of the episode versus the reality of what we get. This one's not good.
No,
the motion picture is not very good either.
That's actually a very good point, because whenever I think back to the opening teaser for this episode, it's really good. It's a really good teaser. You think you're going to have like a cool episode because you're like, what's going on? They showed up at this planet. It's all super green.
Really
Geordi's going on about fucking ammonia tornadoes. They're talking about like the Klingons are sniffing.
Unless you like
here.
Ammonia tornadoes.
And then boom, you see this like, whoa, my God, it's a piece of this old NASA business. What's going on? And then like the episode starts and you're like, oh, it's a crazy episode. And Data's wearing a hat and there's multiple sexual predators involved.
I liked this is on the theme of Picard as a mathematician when he looked at Geordi and said,
"Those are some fairly aggressive computations."
Geordi was performing aggressive computations. Yeah, I can right only imagine what he was
That's
doing.
That's what Geordi always does.
His aggressive yeah. computations. He was really beating the shit out of that math.
That's right. This was a threatening episode.
This was a mathematical Picard episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least a reference to it.
Another thing that, just on the long list of things that Data did that were weird. Dan's played a lot of the clips, and we've made a few references. But one other one is when, do they ever name the blonde gambling girl?
Sure, it's Vanessa.
Vanessa, that's right. I'm stupid. So Vanessa, when Vanessa at one point she says, "I'm losing my shirt."
Oh yeah.
Then Data all like glances down at her breasts and yeah, makes like a weird squinty-eyed face. Like, I don't know. It was another like, why is Data?
Yeah.
Is he? Did he think that her shirt's gonna fall off? Is she? Like,
are you nuts?
He was trying to get a look. Yeah.
That's what it seemed like. Or charitably, he was like, is her shirt about to disintegrate? And he was puzzled as to why it hadn't happened yet? I don't know.
Casual queries offered inconspicuously might prove fruitful.
Damn right, Data. Damn right.
Yeah, they might not.
They might not. Could. Yeah. It's possible it would. It's also possible it wouldn't.
Yeah, I think might is maybe, when it's, maybe, you know, not. Either or. May is when it's more likely. I think generally accepted. That's it.
One of my favorite phrases is the, like you could say, when people say, "I almost didn't recognize you," because yeah. it means they recognize.
Yeah, exactly, right?
It's a bit like that.
Anything else, Dan, Jesse, Isaac? Any other bits and pieces?
A lot of times, closed captioning says this, but Data actually says it out loud.
My reading is intensifying, sir.
If you look at closed, because I look at a lot.
my reading is intensifying.
I look at a lot of closed captioning, and there's a lot of X is intensifying.
Yeah, yeah, closed captioning is one of Dan's kinks.
I don't know what it is.
And we don't kink shame here. We're fine with that.
I think I just have problems understanding dialogue sometimes.
Well, sometimes you go over to Dan's house and there's just like, just you can't see the video through the how
we
much,
cannot see it.
How much closed captioning is piled on.
We cannot see it. I've got one more little thing for you guys. When Howard and Troy were listening to the book, Troy, who's there to help, just leaves.
I know.
She was just like, if you don't mind, he's like, fuck this. Yeah. She was just like, fuck this. I'm not listening to any more of this bullshit.
I've heard enough.
And I love
it. You know, I need to be doing this. Or,
it was all implied, too.
I'm done.
She's like, yeah. She's like, don't worry. Everyone will understand. The audience will understand. Picard will understand.
I thought she was making a great face while they were listening to it. She was just kind of like, what is this?
She was. Much credit to Marina Sirtis here for that face.
I guess
face.
She could have stayed in the scene, but she might have been wondering, where would I stay?
That's right.
Like, where would I stay?
Where will I get? How do I get out of this situation?
We're dangerous.
We are. all right. Well, I guess we've covered most of what we need to cover for this particular episode.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to practice my Vegemite skills.
All right, we'll do some more practice. We'll have Dan practice Vegemite.
We'll post
back.
More pictures, yeah. and Isaac, you can tell me how I'm coming along.
Yeah, and
happy to help anytime.
I appreciate it.
At some point, I'm sure Isaac probably assumes we're joking about this because he doesn't know us that well personally. At some point, we're going to show up in Tasmania and be like,
"Oh, good.
You better show us how to fucking do this."
Yeah, come over, I'll make you breakfast.
We'll have a proper Aussie breakfast. We would very much enjoy that.
Time to get down to business.
Well,
and I'm good looking too. Huh?
So thank you very much, Isaac, for joining us this week. It was wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's been a delight.
I've gotten to join you on your podcast on Plan Trek multiple occasions. It's always a great time, so people should go check that out.
Yes.
I have an excellent library of stuff and cool stuff, and you guys are just hilarious.
Yes, sirree.
So, concluding matter, the concluding matter of the program. Jesus Christ. Yes, okay. No, I was referring to things like the website, which is www.itsgotstartrek.com. Mm-hmm. We try to keep it real straightforward for you folks, you know.
Elaborate.
We don't want to add to your burdens, right?
Unless you like ammonia tornadoes.
So yes, it's got StarTrek.com. And by the way, so you're listening to one of our standalone episodes, right? Because on this podcast, when there's new Star Trek, we cover the new Star Trek. But when there's not, we still do stuff every week, bouncing around the Star Trek universe.
I find it stimulating.
Talking about different episodes. We picked this episode because we'd been chatting with Isaac and we thought he had strong feelings about this. So we're like, why not? This is a good episode to go into after a long stretch of Discovery. Just some totally opposite vibe, right, to what we've been dealing with. But next week, we don't know what we'll discuss yet. We'll have Dan's algorithm do some processing and we'll figure it out. But all you need to do is follow us on social media at It's Got Star Trek. And we, you know, keep following us and look every day, just look constantly. And
sounds good to me.
And eventually you'll see a post describing what episode we'll be discussing next week.
All right.
And yes, it's at It's Got Star Trek on all the major social media things. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. Lots of people listen to us on YouTube, which is fascinating because we don't actually have video up there, just a static image. But hey, whatever floats your boat, if you're into that.
Nasty.
whatever works for you, we're cool with that.
Very strange experience.
It can indeed be the case. So,
are you nuts?
And feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. If you would like to send us an email or a voicemail or whatever. You can record a voicemail at itsgotstartrek.com/record. And finally, the last thing I'm obligated to talk about is the Patreon, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Go check it out. There's free previews there.
Pretty smooth.
If you're not sure if you like it, check out the free previews and yeah, you get a better idea if it's worth paying money for. And if it's not, don't worry about it. It's no skin off our backs. You know, we won't even know. It's not like we're
the odds favor standing.
You can
pat.
Go look at it and be like, "This is shit," but you don't have to tell us, and we won't know because we're not going to know that you did that.
You're brilliant.
All right.
Brilliant.
Okay. So yes, we look forward to talking to you next week. And with
thanks again, Isaac.
Thank you, Isaac.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to everyone about this time next week. Bye, bye.
We can get the hell out of here.
Definitely human. Male.
Looks like the poor devil died in his sleep.
What a terrible way to die.